Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, hey, welcome. We're so excited that you've come here to join us today. My name is John Owens. I'm the Newcastle campus pastor here at Victory Family Church. And go ahead. Thank you. If you're tuning in with us online, I want to encourage you to go ahead and share this stream. I'd encourage you to like it. Share it with your friends and family. We want to make sure that they're ministered to as well here today. And why don't you, in the comments, let us know where you're tuning in from. We would love to connect with you. And Newcastle family, I love you. Kara and I, it's our highest honor and privilege to serve the city of Newcastle right alongside with you. It's just so special. We're so thankful for the opportunity. Cranberry, I want to let you know, on the other side of that camera is a group of people in Newcastle that live their life on a mission to serve the city of Newcastle and go get it to show them the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. You would be proud of what goes on in Newcastle. It's amazing how they serve that city. Thank you, Newcastle. We love you. Pastor John and Miss Michelle, we're so thankful for your leadership, not only for this church, but, you know, just to be selfish for a minute, just the leadership that you have for me and my wife, both individually and in our marriage. Thank you so much for your leadership, your mentorship to us. We can't wait to see you come back here. I know it's just going to be a few more weeks. We're so, so excited for that. Thank you, Pastor John and Miss Michelle. But, you know, I want to start off with a question, you know, something I used to think about a lot growing up. Some of you know my testimony, and I grew up in church. My parents pastored a church in our town. And, you know, back then, 30-some years ago, talking about the end times, you know, as crazy as it was 30-some years ago. And, boy, look at it now. And, you know, we talked a lot about the end times. And I was much younger than I am now. And so we talked about the end times and, you know, the end of everything here. And I thought about eternity just a little bit because it was part of the conversation that we were so regularly in, it seems like. You know, when I was younger, I thought about that a little bit. Didn't mean a whole lot to me. But as I get older, that topic has a lot more meaning to me. Not just for me, but my family and everybody that I'm connected with, everybody that I meet with. And I don't know if you think about it a lot, and that's my question for you here today is, have you ever thought about life after death and your eternity? And today, as we get into it, I want to ask you to be thinking about that throughout the message. You know, we're in this series, and we're wrapping up this week, the Grow Up series. We're talking about the foundations of our faith, and we see this in scriptures in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, and we've read this almost every week, and I would just want to start off with that here today. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." These are our foundations of our faith. And we started off in week one, and Pastor Omar Ross taught us about repentance of dead works. And week two, Pastor David Swan taught us about faith toward God. And then Pastor Ben Archer in week three taught us about water baptisms. And then in week four, we had Pastor Gerald Brooks. He taught us the biblical principle, never, ever fly with Pastor Gerald Brooks. Prayer partners will be here at the end to pray for your newfound fear of flying. No, but all seriously, Pastor Ben Archer talked to us last week about water baptism, or baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the laying on of hands. Did such a phenomenal job. This week, I'm going to wrap up the series, talk about resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The title for my message today is, "Where Are You Going?" And that's what I want you to ask yourself today in my message as I'm speaking, just to process everything through, where am I going? We're going to start off with today, we're going to talk about resurrection of the dead. And, you know, we're talking about, that's one of our foundations of our faith. Our foundations are so important. They're so important in our life. They're so important in everything that we do. You know, a few years ago, before I came on staff here at the church, I worked in engineering. I worked with an engineering company that made refractory products. And we help our customers melt down aluminum, steel, process cement. One of the products that we used to make were linings for aluminum furnaces. And it was back in 2013. We were working with a little customer. You might know him, Apple. And we were working with them. We were designing some aluminum furnaces for them to make this new special 6000 series alloy aluminum that they were going to use to make this new product coming up called the iWatch. And this new product had to be really strong, really light. And so we're helping them with this new series of aluminum. But these aluminum furnaces are massive. They're so big. Many of them would be larger than our homes. These ones that we were making for Apple held 30 tons of molten aluminum. Inside that furnace would be heated up to about 3,000 degrees. And then that entire structure would be lifted up and they would dump all that molten aluminum out the back of that furnace to go on to another area of the plant for processing. You know, and that's an amazing thing to watch. One thing you never see in that aluminum furnace except for the first time that thing is put together, though, is the foundation. But if that foundation isn't right, lives are at stake. Because if that foundation fails, that entire structure is going to fail. And it's going to be a catastrophe in that plant. And lives are at stake. What we're talking about here today, our foundation of our faith, lives are at stake. So important our foundation is set. We're talking about resurrection of the dead. I'm going to go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. See, resurrection of the dead is at the very foundation of our Christian faith. To be saved, you must believe in the resurrection of the dead. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then he wasn't who he said he was. He's just another false Messiah, another so-called Savior, coming claiming to be God. Oh, but he's raised. He's raised. I'm here to tell you, Jesus has been raised. You know, after Jesus was resurrected, he spent another 40 days here on this earth. Met with over 500 people witnessed Jesus in his resurrected body. You know, I think that I read a lot of books, and sometimes I think we separate the author from the text, and sometimes we get lost in that. But the New Testament, the Bible, was written by people who spent their lives with Jesus before his death and after, and saw him in his resurrected body. These are eyewitness accounts. They tell a story that they saw Jesus with. They walked with Jesus. They ate with Jesus after his resurrection. Thomas, in a meeting when they were all together, Jesus let Thomas put his hand in his side from the spear from the Roman soldier. Right before they took him down, the Roman soldier put a spear in his side to make sure that he was dead. Thomas got to put his hand in that hole. Jesus' resurrected body carries the nails from the spikes in his hands and his feet and a hole from the spear in his side. They saw the empty tomb of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor John, I get that. That's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But what about me? I don't know so much about me. Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke directly to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, it says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. That is so exciting. Christ is the first of a great harvest. Paul is saying here, if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, we are a pathetic group of people, but he's risen. Come on, he's risen. Praise him. What's exciting about that? Jesus is the first of many to be resurrected from the dead. You know, Paul goes in on to teach into the church here that Jesus is the first to be raised. He teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the resurrection of the dead. And he teaches us that the dead in Christ will be the first to be raised. There's an order to resurrection of the dead. Jesus was the first. You know, my mom died at 51 years old about 20 years ago. My mom's a believer. She's in heaven right now. You know, when my mom died, her spirit immediately went into the presence of God. But her body is buried here on this earth. My mom died of a heart attack. She had a blockage in the widowmaker artery, if you know what that is. And my mom was here one day, gone the next. When Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will be raised first. When Jesus comes back, those that have died in Christ will be raised out of the grave with a new glorified heavenly body. Her body is going to be raised, reunited with her spirit. It's going to be so awesome when Jesus comes. All this will happen before the believers here on earth are taken away, are raptured. There is going to be an entire generation on this earth that will never die. I believe we're that generation. Come on, we're going to see the return of Christ. I believe it. There is going to be a group of people that are going to be transformed in the blink of an eye. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 53, what am I saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. See, if you're a Christian, you never die. If you're in Christ, you never die. You can't kill a Christian. Come on. When you take your last breath here, you take your first breath in heaven. When you close your eyes here, they open in heaven. You can't kill a Christian. Jesus said to Martha, talking to her about her brother who had just passed away, Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, he said, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? I would ask the same question for us here today. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, life has lived a little bit differently. You can't kill a Christian. We never die. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was back in Ohio, where I'm from, and we were going to for a funeral. My aunt passed away a couple weeks ago. Aunt Joan. Aunt Joan was so awesome. She was such a funny lady. Always brought so much joy to every situation. Aunt Joan was a believer. She's in heaven, all heaven, celebrating with her right now. She's having a blast. And so we have a really big family. There's 10 on my dad's side. There's 8 on my mom's side. So we get together, man, there's a ton of people. And so, you know, with those larger families, it's hard to stay connected with people. But I ran into one of my uncles I haven't seen in a while, Uncle Rod. And Uncle Rod, he's a fun guy too. Uncle Rod was was talking to me, and Uncle Rod tunes in from Columbus, Ohio. Maybe Uncle Rod's on today watching us. He loves Victory Family Church, loves to hear Pastor John Nuzzo and his preaching, loves our church. But he asked me, he goes, when are you going to preach? I said, you know what, actually, Uncle Rod, I'm going to preach in just a couple of weeks. He said, oh, that's great. I'm looking forward to that. I'll have to make sure that I tune in. And so he went on. He was talking to some other family members. And so I started talking to my brother. My brother and I started talking about the topic of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We were talking back and forth about that. And then my Uncle Rod ended up circling back, and he got in our circle where we were talking. And my Uncle Rod in the past had some health issues. And he started talking about some of those health issues that he had in the past. And there was this one time a few years ago, my Uncle Rod, 49 years old, on the way to work, driving down I-70 near Columbus, 70 miles an hour, he just starts getting really numb in his arms. And he's on his way to work. At this time, my uncle is a plant manager at a printing company in the Columbus area. He's driving to work. He's getting a little bit scared about what's going on. He gets to work and he tells one of his coworkers about it. He said, you know, Rod, that could be a sign of a heart attack. You better get that checked out. My Uncle Rod didn't think too much about it. But shortly after that conversation at work, that started happening again. And so he thought, you know what, I better get this checked out. I think this might be serious. So he knew where the local fire department was. He had them come in and do inspections on their building to stay up to code. And knew that at that fire station, there was EMTs that were stationed on that fire station as well. So he drove up there over there as quickly as he could. He was going so fast, the cops were following him, right into the fire station. He runs in. He tells the person there what he's experiencing. They tell him, hey, you need to go this way. You need to see the EMT. See at this station, there was 12 EMTs there that day that were about ready to head out for work. And as Uncle Rod is going on his way back to the EMTs, he hits the ground. He has a massive heart attack. He has 100% blockage in that widowmaker artery that took my mom out. And he hits the ground. Instantly, my Uncle Rod is in heaven. And my Uncle Rod starts telling me the story of what heaven's like and how beautiful it is. See, my Uncle Rod in the printing industry, he's really good. Like, he really notices colors and things like that. And he talked about how beautifully colorful that heaven was and how peaceful heaven was. And he was walking in heaven, and he's walking along these rolling hills. And as he's walking in heaven, he starts to hear these voices. And he can't quite make them out. They're really low, almost like a mumble. And the voices start getting louder and louder. And Uncle Rod's actually moving backwards. And he's coming back into his body. Because as he heard the voices, they start saying, Rod, Rod, you got to come back. Rod, you got to help us. Rod, you got to fight. And as he's doing that, he gets about 6 feet above his body. And he sees the EMTs shock his body with the defibrillators. And then he entered his body, and the EMTs shocked his body one more time, and he sat right up, and that cop was in his face, and he said, everything's going to be all right. Spend a little time in heaven, you realize everything's going to be all right. You know where your eternity's at, you can be secure that everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you, Uncle Rod's on fire for telling people about the Lord and about heaven. When you know where your eternity is, come on, everything's going to be all right. When our bodies die, our spirits immediately pass into the presence of God. It's in paradise. That's God's idea. Jesus told the thief hanging next to him on the cross, Luke 23 and 43, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. When our eyes close here, they open there. There will never be a time that you aren't alive. Our bodies might be still here when we die. If we die before Jesus comes back, our bodies will be here just like my mom's is in the ground, but she's going to get a resurrected body just like we all will. We're all going to get a new glorified body. When Jesus returns, the spirits of those who have died already will be raised, get glorified, new bodies, and meet their spirit in the air. Can you imagine having a perfect heavenly body? Come on, perfect vision, perfect health, perfect weight. You eat all the mint chocolate chip ice cream you want, not gain any weight. Come on. It's going to be so good. Come on, anybody excited for that? I'm tired of eating salad. You know, believing in the resurrection of the dead is foundational to our faith. Resurrection of the dead isn't just something that Jesus did. It's something that we're all going to do as well. Now, we're all growing up. This series we're in, we're all growing up in this time. But we're not all going to be judged the same. Every person has an appointment with judgment. There's two judgments in the Bible. One for believers, one for unbelievers. And so we want to talk about eternal judgment. Here's, we talk about resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment is right after that. Because when you take your last breath here, you take your first breath there. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. It says, "And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him." Anybody in here eagerly awaiting for his return? Online, are you eagerly waiting for his return? Put it in the comments. If you've given your life to Jesus, he's taken away our sins. We don't have to fear judgment. When we go before Jesus to be judged, it's for rewards, not sins, as believers. If you're here today and maybe you're fearing the return of Jesus, he's coming back. It's kind of a bad sign. Maybe you've never heard this teaching before about how we go before Jesus to receive rewards. Might be a sign that you're not right with God. I would encourage you to stay tuned. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of this service to make a change in that. God knows. My wife knows. I'm not perfect. I'm saved by grace just like anybody else. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I'm telling you what, to hear my Uncle Rod's stories, I'm sure we've all heard of other stories of people spending time in heaven. Heaven's going to be amazing. We can't dream on the level that God thinks. Heaven is going to be so amazing. In our wildest dreams, we cannot come up with it. There's, like I said, there's going to be two judgments, one for believers, one for unbelievers. The judgment that believers will receive is the judgment seat of Christ. And we're taught this in the Bible in Romans chapter 14, verses 8 through 12. It says, "If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be the Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, every tongue will declare allegiance, praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God." All believers will give an account for the life that they've lived here on this earth, for the life that they were given to live out here on this earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." Newcastle, online, Cranberry, listen to me here. We're saved by grace, but we're going to be judged by our works. We're saved by grace, but we're going to be judged by our works. It says here in the Bible is our manual for life, that we're going to be judged by Jesus by what we've done here on this earth. Now, here on earth, and maybe many of you contribute to a 401k plan, a retirement plan, and, you know, rightly so. And maybe you're really blessed in your retirement plan, your 401k, and as you do that, you get to retirement, and maybe you got like $50 billion in your retirement plan. Man, you've had an awesome, awesome retirement plan. And maybe you get to spend 50 years in that retirement, which would be an amazing amount of time to spend in retirement. Maybe you've done that, and at the end of that 50 years, you've had an amazing time in retirement with all this money, and it's been an awesome time with your family. You've really been blessed with health and family. But on the other side of that 50 years is eternity. On the other side of that 50 years with that $50 billion is eternity. And that was great for 50 years. I don't know if there's anyone else in here like me. I'm putting all my investments in heaven. Come on, somebody. Our investments in heaven will be enjoyed forever. You want to just barely get to heaven? Heaven's going to be awesome, regardless how you get there. Heaven is going to be awesome. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, right next to him, that you're going to join me in that day in paradise. The thief didn't have an opportunity to earn any rewards. I'm putting my investments in heaven with serving, with giving, living my life to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, Pastor Steve, we talked about kingdom builders. Pastor Steve leads up the kingdom builders here. And we did an amazing kingdom builders last year to give away $1.5 million outside the walls of our church. And, you know, this year we've increased it even further. And, you know, last year felt like God was really stretching us in our giving. We really stretched ourselves in our giving there. And this year, as I was praying about kingdom builders and what we're going to do for this year, felt like God put it on my heart to increase that by 50%. Well, that really stretches our faith. A 50% in giving in your finances really, really stretches your faith. And we were tested in that. And I'll tell you what, I was meeting with Pastor David Swan just a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I went to lunch with him, and we were talking about giving. Only in the kingdom of God can you take the same amount of money, give more, and have more. Somehow the money does more when you give into the kingdom of God. It's so amazing. You know, I'm living my life to be pleasing to the Lord in my giving. I'm living my life to be pleasing to the Lord in my serving. We passionately serve. We go after the city of Newcastle. We go after that city. We've got a whole group of people, a whole campus in Newcastle that goes after that city to show them the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. You know, for the last year and a half that we've been, 2 years that we've been serving that community, it's been so amazing, outreach after outreach. And as we've just served our city, last week, you know, Newcastle has started off school because of COVID in a virtual setting. So all their kids are taking school at home. And so they've got to deliver the breakfast and lunch to all the kids. See, so many kids in Newcastle count on the school district for their food. And so the school needs to deliver 14,000 meals to these kids every week for the school, to the kids. And so they don't have enough staff to make this happen. You know, their first call was to me. Their first call was to me and said, "Pastor John, we need help distributing these 14,000 meals. Can you help us?" I said, "Yeah." And so last week, we got to ride the school buses and help deliver 14,000 meals all over that city. You know, Victory Family Church and the Newcastle campus, we've adopted a block in the city, the Diamond downtown, the park there. We've adopted a block down there to help it, keep it clean. We go down there once a month, and we clean up all the weeds out of the flowers out there. We clean up the Diamond Park that is down there. We've adopted a block, and by that leadership, some other folks, some other organizations around the city have begun to adopt blocks around the city as well. There's so many outreaches. We are such a serving church. So many outreaches. You go to our website, go to the outreach page. You can sign up to join us on the outreaches that I talked about, any outreaches that are there. I'm investing in eternity. Those are the rewards that we're going to be given when we see Jesus. And all these things, they stretch you. None of these things are easy. You're talking about giving, you're talking about serving, giving your time, you're giving your resources. I like to work out a little bit. And I'll tell you what, if it don't hurt, growth hurts. It doesn't stretch you. The next day, if I'm not hurting, I know I didn't work out hard enough the day before, and I got to go back and do it again. Come on, growth isn't comfortable. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15, says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures it, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Every believer goes to heaven, but some believers go there with a whole lot more reward. I'm investing in heaven. You know, Jesus said that he goes to prepare a place for us. He's going to prepare a mansion for us in heaven. I can't even imagine what that mansion's going to look like. I don't know. I'm old school here. Anybody watch MTV Cribs? And I'm thinking about what's there and how that's, you know, what's in heaven's going to be way better than that. I can't even imagine that. But, you know, we who go there with rewards, maybe our mansion's just a little bit bigger. When we go there, we're getting rewards. It's going to be worth it to live your life for Jesus. Now, for those that are not believers, who are not saved, there's a judgment for them as well. No believer will see this judgment. This judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. We see this in the Bible in Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. For those who faced the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works." See, everyone's judged. Now, there's no grace in this judgment. "By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So where are you going? The story I shared with you earlier about my uncle. He thought he was in the best shape of his life, 49 years old. Heart attack, just like that. Dies. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't received Jesus' free gift, today is your day. You get to make a choice today. You get to make a decision today that impacts eternity. You know, I shared with you the story of my mom, and, you know, she had that heart attack, widowmaker artery as well. Yeah, I shared with you, you know, I talked to my mom the night before she passed away. And we were getting off the phone. And like my mom always said, she's like, "John, I love you." I go, "Yeah, Mom, I know. I love you too." She said, "No, Johnny, I love you." Has a heart attack the next day. Gone. So thankful for that call. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. My mom was 51. My uncle was 49. Nobody's thinking about heart attacks at that age. So where are you going? It's your choice. Judgment is coming. Rewards are coming. What will yours be? Will you build a foundation of wood, hay, and straw? Will you build a life on those things eternally focused, kingdom building focused? Or are you gonna build them on a selfishly focused life? Those things that will burn away, will perish, have no reward for eternity. You know, I shared with you a moment ago out of Revelations chapter 22, verse 15. About 20 years ago, I didn't realize that my mom taught me this scripture. She didn't pull her Bible out, give me a chapter and verse. My mom and I were talking at our house, Maple Street, little old Carver, Ohio. She talked to me about this verse. And I didn't remember that till about 4:18 a.m. the other day, and the Holy Spirit woke me up and told me the story again. It says, Revelations 22:15, it says, "Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshipers, and all who love to live a lie." My mom told me that's the life that I was living. My mom told me the drugs that I was into was a form of sorcery. My mom told me I was living a sexually immoral life. She said, Johnny, these people don't go to heaven. She said, these people spend eternity in hell. It's the last time she talked to me about that. It's like she just kind of walked away from it. Because my mom talked to me a lot about those things. She told me these truths in the most loving, motherly way. I wish I could convey them like my mom conveyed them to me. I'm asking God to convey them to you right now the way that He wants them conveyed to you. God loves you, no matter what you've done. My mom never told me my sin was okay. Never. Never told me it was okay. She always loved me. Regardless, my mom loved me unconditionally. That's a godly mother representing our God. God loves you unconditionally, no matter what you've come in here with, no matter what you've done, God loves you. She never told me there wouldn't be a price to pay for my sins, but that there was a free gift from Jesus that I could receive as payment for those sins. Or I was going to have to pay for those sins in my life and spend eternity in hell. She said, Johnny, you choose. It took me a long time to figure out what choice I want to make. Let's bow our heads. You know, maybe you're here like I was many years ago. I was bound in addiction, living an immoral life. Doing drugs, living immorally. You know, we see in the Bible, there's a story very similar to this. It's the story of the prodigal son. Maybe you've heard of it. The prodigal son took his inheritance early from his family, went on to live in a faraway land, led an immoral life, spent all of his money, hit rock bottom, working for a pig farmer. He's so far on bottom, the pigs that he's feeding the food to, he's so on bottom that the pig food actually looks good to him to start eating. And then he remembers his father and the servants that his father had worked for him. And he said, I will go back. He will confess his sins to his father, repent of his father, and go to work for his father. That's his plan. And the minute he turns and he starts heading back to his father to ask for repentance, to tell him that he sinned, his father's looking for him and sees him far off. And his father actually runs to him. And while he's still a long way off, he's running to him. He's running to his son. And he comes up to him. He's filled with compassion, filled with love. And he puts a robe on him, new sandals, a ring, completely restores him. See, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have, everyone in here. I have. Everyone in here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin are death. But there's a gift of God that is eternal life. And this is how God shows us His love for us. He demonstrated His love for us. In that while yet we were still sinners, He sent His Son to die for us to pay the penalty that was due us. Maybe you're here today and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to give you the opportunity to change that right now and to spend eternity with God. Eternity's coming. Judgment is coming. Where will you go? I'm going to ask you in just a moment, if you want to pray that prayer for the very first time and make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up, just as an acknowledgement between you and God. And then everyone in this room, we're all going to pray a prayer out loud and together with you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And just like the scriptures say, you will be made brand new. Just like the prodigal son turned to the father and he forgave him and restored him. I've experienced that. So many in this room have experienced that. So if that's you here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you want to receive Jesus' free gift of salvation and the forgiveness of your sins, if that's you here today, slip your hand up right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you lifted your hand, or you should have, everyone in this room, repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and my life. Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, can we celebrate with them?
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.